please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. Let's look at verse number 1 through verse number 7 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 1, let's begin in verse number, Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now notice verse number 7, and this is where I'll get my text from this morning. By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Let's bow for a prayer. Lord, I do pray that as we break the bread of life, that you would stir our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd quicken us to the things of God. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in our midst today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, I do ask and pray that you'd help every father that's here today. I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to help their family and their children, their grandchildren, come to know you. I pray, Lord, now for your blessing, your guiding hand. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I talked to you about God's desire for children, and that's children to be saved and children to come to know Christ. And we talked a little bit about what can children do. Well, children can praise God, and children can love God, and children can serve God. And we talked about those things last Sunday morning and last Sunday evening. But this morning I'd like to have you consider just a simple truth about the responsibilities of dads and the responsibility of fathers. And I want you to notice there in verse number 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. You know, some men have a vast difference as to what they think the responsibilities are to their household. Some people think, well, you know, my responsibility is just to go ahead and provide a roof and clothing and food on the table. That's what my responsibility is. And there are some dads that do a great job in just making sure that their family has got a house and they've got shelter or they got food and clothing. And all those things are absolutely important. Matter of fact, the Bible says if any man doesn't provide for his own house, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. I believe that every child of God, listen, you need to be a responsible dad and you need to go ahead and provide for your family. But some people think, well, you know what? It's just about the material needs. Some people think, well, you know, it's about teaching my children how to hunt and how to fish and things like that. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with those things. But if we as parents and as dads and even as a grandfather, if only thing I do is teach my children and my grandchildren how to play games and how to hunt and how to fish and how to do those things, and I forget about the spiritual things, I have missed the mark. And I need to go ahead and make sure that it's just more than just having fun and doing those things. Some people think, you know, life is all about enjoying life. And you know what? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, it's good for a man to enjoy the labors of his own hands. You know, God's given us this world to enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying this world. But if that's all life is enjoying this world, there is something wrong. Something is just about having a good time, and they go camping and they go boating and they go on vacations and all those things. You know what? Every once in a while we do need to get away, and we need to go ahead and come apart before we come apart. And so, you know, Jesus said, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. And that's a good thing to do from time to time. But you know what? There's more to life than just planning a vacation. There are some that are, unfortunately, that are derelicts as far as their duty. And I'm sure that you know, and I can tell you story after story of men that have not provided for their children. While they go out and squander their paycheck, their children are hungry and are not clothed, and they do not have proper housing. They don't have all the necessities of life. They never provide love, and they never provide guidance. They don't provide funds. And worst of all, they do not provide spiritual guidance for their children who one day will stand before God. And I believe that is the height of derelicting our duty. Not preparing our children for what's going to happen when they leave this world. You know, Noah had a little bit different priorities than most dads today. The Bible states that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. While the world was living in wickedness, this Bible preacher, the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness, he was preparing an ark. He was building his home that would stand against the storms of life. A storm that was coming like the world had never seen. May I remind you, there is coming a storm. It's called the Great Tribulation Period. A time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 6. A time like it was never before upon the face of the earth. And it is coming. It is future. And God forbid that our children or grandchildren would have to live through that. And you as a parent can do something about that. You can prepare your house and prepare your family so that they can escape that terrible time here in this world. You say, how do you do that? Have them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, Noah was preparing an ark. Just what was the ark? You say, well, preacher, it was a big boat. Yeah. Well, besides being a big boat, it was something more than just a large vessel. What was the ark? The ark was something more than a boat. It was a place of peace. While the world was crying out and the world was being destroyed, and as it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and as the fountains of the earth were broke up and the whole world was flooded, it was a time of peace. It never rained inside the ark. And while the world was crying out for salvation, they were safe in the midst of God's salvation for them. It was a place of safety. It was a place of safety. By the way, don't you think our home ought to be a place of peace? And don't you think our homes ought to be a place of safety? There ought to be this understanding for children and an understanding for dads and moms. When I come home, it's going to be a place of peace and safety. And moms and dads, you're going to set the tone for this. If your children come home and all there is fussing and feuding and fighting and bickering, there's going to come a day they're going to say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with that. And there's going to come a day when they're going to move out. And you're not going to see your kids like you should. Because they're going to say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with that. And if you say that you're a Christian and all those things are in your life, listen, they're going to say, I don't want anything to do with Christianity because all it is fussing and feuding and bickering and fighting. And those things, I don't want anything to do with it in my life. God forbid. You see, the ark was a place of safety. It was a place of peace. It was a place of separation. And your home ought to be a place of separation. Separation from the world. The worldly influence and the ungodly influence should not be invited into your home whether it's through the avenue of music or through the avenue of television or through the avenue of the printed page. We ought to make sure that we as God's people have a home that is safe and that it's pure and that it's godly and it's a place of separation. And not only was it a place of safety and separation and peace, but it was a place that Noah and his children and all the animals called home for over a year. And we know that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But if you add up all the days from the time that they entered in to the time that they departed from the ark, I added them all up, and if my figures are right, there was 377 days that they were on the ark. That's a long time. That's a long time to have Mr. and Mrs. Cow living next door. Amen. I'm sure that they were ready to get off the ark by that time. But it was a place that Noah and his family and all the animals called home. Man, now listen. We have a great responsibility, and God has given us a great responsibility and an eternal responsibility for everyone that the Lord has placed underneath of our roof. A great responsibility, because every person that comes under our roof should have the opportunity to experience the life-changing work of the gospel. They should have the opportunity to hear the Word of God. I really believe that everyone that comes underneath of my roof, they need to make sure that they have got things settled with God. You see, I believe that the Father's greatest responsibility is to prepare their family for heaven. Prepare their family for heaven. I really believe that if we will look at what the Bible states about Noah and how that Noah built the ark, we will find a pattern to build our homes that will endure throughout all of eternity. And the question this morning is this: just how did Noah build the ark? And I hope and pray that moms and dads and young people, listen, if you're not married yet, there's going to come a day when maybe God's going to bring somebody in your life and you can take these principles and you can apply them to your life and you can build a good and a godly home for the Lord. Amen? And so I want you to notice four things with me this morning about how Noah built the ark. Just how did he build the ark? The same way you ought to build your home. By the way, the same way we ought to build Grace Baptist Church. Look at verse number 7. It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God. Let's go ahead and look at that first part. It says, by faith, Noah. How did he build the ark? Noah built the ark by faith. He built the ark by faith. You know, if I would have understood what when Gail and I got married, all of the finances that was going to be needed to raise three children, and all the homes that we were going to live in, and all the vehicles that we went through. And if I would have looked at all the money that was spent from back in 1975 until today, I would have said, there is no way that I could have that much money brought in to go ahead and support myself and my family. You know, they say that a college education today, if you go to a regular state school, it's nothing to put $60,000, $80,000 into a college education. Go to a private school, you're talking up close to $100,000 to $150,000 per child. You say, how in the world can somebody afford that? I don't know. I really don't. I'm glad my kids are past that. Amen? But you know, here's the thing. When we look at all these things, we look at what it would cost in order to provide financially. If we knew ahead of time, we'd never make that step. You know what we do? Every person today, we step out by faith. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have any faith. Oh, sure you do. We just don't realize everybody has faith. Everybody has faith. We ended up, you got up this morning, you probably went over to a light switch, and you flipped on that switch, not even thinking about it, and that switch, as it was flipped on, Power went through that switch to the lights, and the lights came on, and by faith you went over and turned on that switch. By faith you stuck your keys in your automobile, you turned that ignition on, and the car started, and by faith you operated that, even not realizing that you've exercised faith. Each and every one of us has faith, but the question is, do we have faith in God to build our homes? And that's what we need to have. Noah had faith in God to build the ark. And we as God's people need to have faith to build our homes for the Lord. I want you to notice what it says. In verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet. What are some things that he didn't see? God warned him that there was going to be a flood. The flood is going to come and it's going to destroy the whole earth. God said, Noah, it's going to rain. Now, rain's not a big deal for us. Unless you live in Colorado, then it's a big deal with all the flooding going on. But you know what? We could use a little bit of rain around here now. Things are getting kind of dry and we welcome rain. But back then, according to Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 6, it never rained. The Bible says there was a heavy mist that came up from the ground and watered the whole face of the earth. And so when God told Noah, look, you know what? I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. What's a flood? Well, I'm going to send water pellets down from the sky and it's going to flood. What? It's called rain, Noah. What's rain? It's water droplets coming out of the sky. I'm sure God had to probably explain it to him to a certain degree. He had never seen it before. And so the Bible says by faith, being warned of God, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You see, number one, we need to understand this. He did so by faith. Noah believed God and he acted upon what God said without any proof of the future, laboring for 120 years building the ark. Things not seen, it didn't rain. Noah never saw a global flood. God said he was going to destroy everyone upon the face of the earth, except for those in the ark. Noah never saw those things before. And yet for 120 years, Noah went ahead and labored. He built an ark, 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, 45 foot high. All the animals were gathered together. He provided all the provision for them to fill the ark up, to sustain them. That had to be a monumental task. And the book of Jude says that he was a preacher of righteousness. So as he was building, he took time, and I imagine he probably had a platform up there, and as crowds came around together, as he was out there in the middle of that desert area building a boat, they said, Noah, you're crazy. Building a boat in the middle of the desert, what are you doing? He began to preach, warning them of the disaster to come. He did so by faith. Noah believed God. Our family and our household needs to see biblical faith. They need to see biblical faith. Look at verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please God, please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, our family needs to see our faith. Not just faith for salvation, although they do need to see that. If you're saved today, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And if you have received God's saving faith and God's saving grace into your life, then your family should be able to see the work of that saving faith in your life. But not only that, they need to see you as a parent trust God daily. I remember years ago when we came up to Oak Harbor and I stood out in front of that old church building on the corner of Church and Ottawa Street. I brought my pastor up and I showed him that old building that had the real high ceilings and the broken stained glass windows, and I said, what do you think, Pastor? And he says, I think that you're going to starve to death up here. He says, you need to go to a bigger town where they can support you. And he says, Oak Harbor is too small of a community to build a church that's self-sufficient. And I said, well, I really believe this is where God's called me to go. And so if I starve to death, I said, that's fine. By the way, I haven't starved to death. Most of you probably realize that. But, you know, I sat out in front of that building and I prayed and I said, Lord, if you give me this building, I says, I'll come here and I'll stay. My family saw that. My daughter and my boys, my wife, they saw that. I remember we got in there, we held our first services, and they saw just a couple people come out, just a couple. And I told my wife, I said, it'll happen, it'll come, it'll just take some time. And we knocked on doors, and we invited people to come out. We had Vacation Bible School, and all of a sudden we had a whole bunch of kids. We had 15 kids and four adults. That was our church. And I said, you know what, it'll come. Just trust God. And we just trusted God, and by the end of that year, we had about 15 or so adults and about 20 kids. And I said, we just need to keep going. Within a couple years, all of a sudden that little old church building was just about full. And I said, you know what? We need to go ahead and we need to purchase property. And Brother John and I came out here and we stood out here in the middle of a wheat field and we prayed over this property. And by faith, we claimed this property for God. Even before the building was ever built, by faith, I envisioned this building sitting here. And a few years later, I said, you know what, fellas, here's what I believe that we ought to build. We built this auditorium. You say, well, what's going to happen in the future? I don't know. You know, I'm hoping that the rest of this side over here, you all need to get busy and invite people. This side's full. This side's a little bit lacking. All right. But you know what? We need to get busy and fill this up for the glory of God. And then by the grace of God, have the new auditorium built. You say, well, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what's going to happen with the economy. I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. The same way I didn't know what was going to happen when Bill Clinton was in office when we built this building. And by faith, we just need to go ahead and step out. And you know what my family saw as we went ahead and built this first church building? Jeremy and John and Jessica, they were here. And I remember them helping drive nails and pick up things and hang drywall. I remember that. And they saw faith in action. You know what your family needs? They need to see you express faith in action. They need to see you trust God. You see, our faith is not based upon anything but the unchanging Word of God. It's not based upon our friends, and it's not based upon our family. It's not based upon our finances, and our faith is not built upon what's in or who is in Washington, D.C. Our faith is built upon the Lord and upon His unchanging Word. Amen? And so how did Noah build his family? Noah built his home by faith. The second thing I want you to notice, how did he build his home? He did so by close communion with God. He did so by close communion with God. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear. The Bible tells us he did so by close communion with God. Look back at Genesis chapter number 6, and I want you to notice a few verses. Genesis chapter number 6. And look at verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was the day and the age in which Noah lived. Look at verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, you can tell a lot about a person when you walk with them. When you walk with people and talk with them, all of a sudden, their heart is revealed. And Noah walked with God, and he understood who God was. And God understood just exactly who Noah was. You see, he built his home by close communion with God. We find that the Bible says, and he heard the Word of God because he was close to Him. Being warned of God, it says in verse number 7 of Hebrews chapter number 11. He heard the Word of God. I really believe that our homes need to hear the Word of God today. Amen. And I believe our children and our spouses need to hear the Word of God. If all your family is getting is what they get on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or even Sunday school, your family is going to be pretty anemic. Daily, they need to be in the Word. They need to be in the Word daily. He heard the Word of God because he was close to God. He heeded the Word of God because he knew God. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse number 22. After God said, I want you to go ahead and build an ark, these are the specifications. I want you to build it so long, so high, so wide. I want you to make it out of gopher wood. I want you to pitch it with tar within and without. And I want you to go ahead and bring all the animals on. I want you to provide provision for them. And he said, this is what I want you to do. Verse 22 says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. How did he build his home? He built it by close communion with God. He heeded God's word because he knew God. He knew that God was going to go ahead and do exactly what God said he was going to do. There's some things that God has told us he's going to do. It's soon going to happen. One day the trumpet is going to sound. And those that are in Christ are going to be raptured out of this world. And we're going to stand before God. And those that are unsaved are going to be left behind to face the tribulation period, a time of death and destruction and the power of Satan unleashed upon this ungodly world. That is coming. You say, when's it going to happen? I don't know. But I do know this, that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And I do know this, it's not going to be long before the Lord comes back. And everything that you hear and everything that you see that is going on over in Syria and over in the Middle East is all according to God's prophetic time calendar. It is all happening for a reason. If the Lord allows me next Sunday, I'm going to be bringing a message on Syria in Bible prophecy. There's a lot. Do you realize that Syria and Damascus, Syria is mentioned like 71 times in the Scripture. Damascus is mentioned 50-some times in Scripture. Syria, at one time, was a stronghold for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was Saul of Tarsus, and he was on the road to Damascus, Syria, when the Lord struck him down, and after he was blinded, he went to Damascus to the home of Ananias, which was in Syria, and that's where he got saved. Damascus, Syria was a stronghold for the gospel at one point in time. You know, I really believe that God cares about those people. I believe that God's desire for those people to get saved. You say, what's going to happen? Come next Sunday and you'll find out, all right? So he built his home by close communion with God. He heeded the Word of God because he knew God. And God has given us eternal warnings. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is a law of sowing and reaping that God warns us about. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God gives us all kinds of warnings in the Scripture. Warnings about hell forever and ever. You see, he built his home by close communion with God, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet. I want you to notice the third thing. The Bible says he moved with fear. Verse 7. Verse 7 says he moved with fear. That tells me that as he was building the ark, and as he was laboring with his three sons, and as they were preparing for this year-long voyage, the Bible says he moved with fear. I really believe that he had godly reverence for Almighty God. And he built that ark with godly reverence. He did it according to God's commandment, and he did it according to God's specifications. You see, Noah, I really believe, had reverence and respect for God. That's a lost commodity in today's society. There was a day and an age when children had respect for elders. There was a day and an age when men had respect for ladies. They saw a lady come to a door and they would open the door for them and they would say, "After you, ma'am." When I go to the post office, if there's a lady that's in front of me that's walking up the steps, I'll run ahead of her. And I'll grab the door and open it up and I'll say, "After you, ma'am." And usually I get a pretty surprised, dumbfounded look. And they'll say, "Well, thank you." I says, "Sure thing. Glad I could do it for you." You know, I think we ought to go ahead and respect our ladies. Amen? And we ought to go ahead and show some respect. I think our children should be taught how to respect their parents. Amen? I think we ought to learn how to... By the way, dads, you remember the Bible says that you're made in the image of God? And when children see their fathers, they should see a father who emulates and radiates the light of their heavenly Father. And if you want your children to have respect for you, as a dad, you need to learn to have respect for God. Because as a dad, if you have no respect for God, and if you do not emulate and radiate the light of God in your personal life, your children will not respect God, and neither will they respect you. And if you want to go ahead and have respect in your life, you need to be all that you can to be like your Heavenly Father. Noah was a man that had reverence and respect for God, and our children need to be taught that respect. Not just respect for our flag, and we need to have that. Not just respect for our country, and yes, we need to have that. Not just respect for the church and for the leadership of the church, and we need to have that. But we need to teach them to have respect for God. And then Noah, he built his home with reverence because Noah knew that God would be true to his word. Look at Genesis 6, look at verse 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I destroy them with the earth." I really believe that God, or that Noah had respect unto God and God's word. He believed what God had to say. He built that ark. He put his family on there and all the animals got on there. You see, he built it because he knew that God was going to be true to his word. My friends, judgment is coming once again. And it's not going to be coming through a flood. But his word tells us that judgment is coming. You may say, "Well, you know what, preacher? I believe that God's going to make an exception for me." God doesn't make an exception for anybody. For Romans chapter number 2 and verse 11 tells us that God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't make any difference what color your skin is, how much education you have or don't have. The judgment of God is going to fall. And it's going to fall upon each and every one that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I really believe that the father's greatest responsibility is to secure their home and to build their home. And we need to make sure we do so by godly faith, by close communion with God, with godly reverence. And then I want you to notice what it says in verse number 7, and I'll close. I want you to notice that he prepared an ark. He moved with fear and he prepared an ark. Let me give you some things about this ark. Number one, it was prepared by the commandment of God. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 14. It was prepared by the commandment of God. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch." He gave specific instructions on how to make the ark. The design and the fashion. Everything about the ark. "This is the way I want you to build it." It was by command. It was by design. Verse number 14 through verse number 16. Look at verse 17 and verse number 18. It was built for safety. It was built for safety. The Bible says, "And a window thou shalt make in the ark." Make to the ark. "And in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with a lower second and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. You know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us that the ark was a place of safety. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 22, and verse number 8, God tells the children of Israel, when thou buildest a new house, thou shalt make a batterment for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Back in the Bible days, when the house was built, their patio, their living space, was on top of the roof. And they would go up there, they would enjoy meals in the cool evening. They would have times of fellowship, time of relaxation on top of the roof. And one of the things that God told Moses to write in the law was this: you make sure you put a batterment or you put a railing all the way around the top of your house. That way nobody falls off accidentally and they hurt themselves or they die. Because the home is supposed to be a place of safety for those that dwell therein. The ark was a place of safety. The ark also was a place built for the preservation of life. We need to preserve life in our homes. So therefore, the words that we say and the actions that we have ought to create life and blessings in our home, not death and cursings in our home. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. By the way, what do you offer with how you speak? Do you offer life to your spouse and to your children? Are your words mean and sharp and cutting, and do they offer death? Noah made sure that the ark was made as a place of preservation. Look, if you would please, in Genesis chapter number 6 and look at verse number 18. It says, "But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark." Notice this: to keep them alive with thee. Look at verse number 20, the last part of verse number 20. To keep them alive. You see, the ark was a place made to persevere, and it was made to go ahead and preserve life. For over a year, the ark was their home. The greatest responsibility that dads have, listen, is to make sure that you build a lasting home. He did so by faith. He did so by close communion with God. He did so with godly reverence. And then he followed through. He did so. The Christian home is by the commandment of God. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The greatest mistake you can do, young men, is not leave your mom and daddy. The greatest mistake you can ever do is stay there and bring a wife into somebody else's home. If you can't afford to be out on your own and take care of a wife, you have no business getting married. Amen? Say, "Preacher, I don't like your preaching." Well, that's all right. I'll probably say it anyway. Back during the Bible days, before a young man could get married, there would be an espousal. He would go out, basically propose. The dad would say, "Yes, I accept the proposal." And then he would go away for 1 year. And during that year's period, he would work, labor, build a house, and when the house was built and the house was furnished, then he would go get the bride. The wedding ceremony would take place. He would bring the bride back to the new home. It's a wonderful picture about what Jesus Christ is doing for us. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus one day is coming to get his bride. Amen? Looking forward to that. But the Christian home is by commandment. There is a way we are supposed to build our home, and it's by the commandment of God. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 21 through 25, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, so much could be said about that passage of Scripture, but there is an order of divine authority set forth in a home. Now, I don't mean to hair-lip every mule in Texas or every woman that's here, but listen. You need to understand this. God has set forth a pattern of submission in the home, and the woman is supposed to be in submission to the husband. Amen? Woo! Boy, I don't like that, preacher. It's in the Bible. Amen? It's in the Bible. And I realize sometimes it's hard to submit to a man that has no leadership skills. Fellas, you need to become a leader in your home. You need to go ahead and pray and ask God to give you those leadership skills and follow God so your family will follow you. You see, the Christian home is by command. Number two, the Christian home is by design. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. I don't want to be mean or ugly or anything, but listen, what is going on in our society today with the LGBT movement and all of that stuff that's out there and the homosexual movement, it is not of God. And you cannot go ahead and condone what God condemns. And we need to understand today that the homosexual movement is not of God, and God does not endorse homosexuality. He condemns homosexuality, and you cannot say, you know what, it's okay for them to get married. Marriage is an institution that is ordained by God. Amen. And we need to understand that. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? You see, the home is by God's design. According to Genesis chapter 2, it was for love and friendship and procreation. I'm sorry, two men cannot do that and two women cannot do that. You say, well, preacher, you know that they'll probably come and arrest you one day for saying those things, then I'll start a jail ministry. A lot can be said about that. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be of one mind, have compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrary wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. The Christian home also is built for safety. In Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. By the way, it doesn't say keepers of the home, it says keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own parents, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness in gravity, sincerity, sound in speech that cannot be condemned. Listen, God has designed the home for safety. And then God has designed the home for preservation. We are only one generation away from barbarianism. Christian, listen to me. The things that we see going on in our culture today with the tattoo craze and the body piercing craze and all of those things, it's nothing more than the results of the influence of paganism in our society. Those things are not condoned nor accepted with God, actually condemned by God. But we need to understand this. The home is built for perseverance and preservation. In 2 Timothy 1, verse number 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that means the unhypocritical faith. That's what the word unfeigned means, without hypocrisy. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy had a heritage that was passed down to him. And Christian, you need to pass your Christian heritage down to your children and your grandchildren. In 2 Timothy 3, verse number 15, Paul told Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He prepared an ark. Christian, let's build a boat. Amen? It's called a home. It's called a home that will keep our family, keep our children, keep our spouse safe and blessed of God. The Father's greatest responsibility is to build an ark. To build a home. A lasting home. An enduring home. A home where every child and grandchild is saved, where they are safe, where they are served, and where they are preserved. Just how are you building your ark? Is it by God's standards or is it by yours? Is it being built upon the sinking sands or is it being built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ? By the way, you are building your house, your home. Is it going to last? Will it be a bridge that will span the tide, that will span and engulf eternity, take people into a place called heaven? I hope so. Let me close with this. Someone wrote these words entitled Building a Bridge, and I want you to listen real closely. This poem was written about those who take time to invest in other people's future. It says, an old man traveling a lone highway came at even, cold and gray, to a chasm deep and wide. The old man crossed in twilight dim, for the sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day, and you never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? And the builder raised his old gray head. Good friend, on the path I've come, he said. There followed after me today a youth whose feet will pass this way. This sullen stream had been naught to me, but to the fair-haired boy may pitfall be. He too must cross in twilight dim. Good friend, I've built this bridge for him. All of us are building a bridge. It needs to bridge the gap of hell and take our children safely into eternity. Let's make sure that we build our homes according to God's specifications. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loves you so much that He went to the cross and died for you. And He is willing to save whosoever will. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, in just a moment we're going to sing a verse of invitation. And we're going to invite you to come. And today, maybe you're here today and maybe you already know the Lord as your Savior. Is your home the way that God wants it to be? Maybe you're just getting started with a home. Then why not come today and say, Lord, help me to build my home according to your specifications. Maybe today you don't have your home in alignment with God's blueprint. Maybe you need to go ahead and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to build my home according to your pattern. Father in heaven, Lord, we do ask and pray that you would bless this invitation, we give it to you. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone in our midst that's lost, I pray, Lord, that they would respond to the invitation and come and let me show them from the Bible how they can know for sure that heaven is theirs and that their sins are forgiven. And Lord, help every child of God determined to build their home according to the Word of God. We pray, Lord, for your blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name.